Thanks for catching up with us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. As always, we're coming to you from the First Star Logistics studios that are unbelievably awesome. And we have a coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, who's the quarterback's coach, who just turned 32 years old recently, none other than Brad Craigthorpe. And I'll tell you what, he's known Joe Burrow since 2018, back at the LSU days. He was a member of the coaching staff down there working with Joe Burrow. And he is very, very excited about being in the quarterback room coaching Killer Bees. Burrow, getting after it. And, of course, Browning, who stepped in and did a phenomenal job. I think you can argue they got the best starting and backup quarterback in the National Football League. And Coach Craigthorpe is very, very excited about that. So we'll talk to him about Joe Burrow, his recovery. We talked about the combine. We talked about putting together offense, tweaking the offense. We talked about all kinds of things. And Coach Craigthorpe had some great answers. You're going to love it. Catch up with him. Made a great decision joining in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, coming to you from our outstanding studios they provide us, which we are eternally grateful for, because we have a very, very special guest, quarterback coach Brad Craigthorpe. And I tell you, Coach, if anybody deserved a quarterback coaching position in the National Football League, it's yourself. You have paid your dues, as they say. That's something that Zach Taylor made mention of, and I think a lot of people feel that way. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a job that I'm really excited and feel really, really fortunate to have. Like you said, I feel like I've worked my way up to this position. I've been here for a long time now. I feel very comfortable in this building, in this organization, in this within this coaching staff. And so it's something that, again, I feel very fortunate to be in this position, and I'm really excited for what the future holds.
Craigthorpe family is a football family. Your grandfather, your father coached. Now you're coaching. I mean, three generations of Craigthorpes in the coaching profession. I mean, is it something you take great pride in?
It is. It definitely is. You know, just thinking back to whenever I was growing up, getting to be around my dad whenever he was coaching, and my grandfather too, like you mentioned. And then I've had brothers that were in the coaching profession as well. And so it definitely feels like it's something that is in our DNA and something that we were, for lack of a better phrase, born to do. And it's something that I feel very fortunate and excited to kind of get to carry on the legacy.
So when you guys are sitting around Thanksgiving turkey, I guess most of the time you guys are all coaching, you guys are all in the game of football, but when you're having family dinners and talking about the game of football, was it all from a coach's viewpoint, through a coach's eyes, basically?
A little bit here and there. I mean, you know, we all played too.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Viewing the game through kind of both of those lenses, both as a coach and as a player. I mean, they're very similar, but yeah, I mean, to answer the question, I guess, yeah, there was a lot of conversation that revolved around football at the dinner table. And to the extent where I kind of felt bad for my mom at times, because it was just a bunch of guys that had a very extreme passion for the sport of football, the game of football, and we loved to talk about it.
So the little bit of time, or the time that you did spend working with the wide receivers, how much has that helped you, do you think, in your overall preparation as you geared yourself to quarterback coach in the National Football League?
I think it was really beneficial. First and foremost, getting to work with a coach like Troy Walters was a big piece of my development as a coach. I consider him a mentor of mine, and learning from him, not just about coaching the wide receivers, but just coaching in a number of different ways, how to reach guys on different levels, how to provide mentorship and really develop young men, not just the player, but the people. So that's something that I felt really fortunate to get to be around. And then, yeah, just viewing the game through a different positions lens. You know, I've worked with the receivers. I've worked with the tight ends at other points in my career as well. And so I think just viewing the game through different lenses is really beneficial at the quarterback position, you have to know what everybody's doing, from the offensive line to the tight end to the running back to the receivers. I think that's a critical part of playing quarterback, is making sure that everybody's on the same page and understanding what their jobs are. And so viewing the game through those lenses, I think for myself, was very beneficial. And I think it's something that I can kind of translate and bring into the quarterback room as I coach those guys as well.
The fact that there's so much continuity and consistency within the coaching staff of Zach Taylor, and it's obviously intentional. Dan Pitcher moves up to coordinator. You move up to the quarterback coaching position. You guys have been working together for a good bit of time now. I mean, you guys can probably finish each other's football sentences. I mean, how big of a plus, how big of a dynamic is that in your favor?
It's a huge dynamic. It's something that I was really happy that, you know, first and foremost, I was really excited for Pitch and for Callie to get the opportunities that they were getting with through the interview process this offseason. But I was really happy that it played out so that Pitch was able to stay here in Cincinnati and Brian was able to get his head coaching opportunity. But just having guys like Pitch and like Zach, who have been in this position before, who have coached the quarterbacks at a very, very high level too. I think Pitch is one of the best quarterback coaches in football. And I think Zach is right there as well. And so being able to lean on those guys and maybe ask for some advice from them when I feel like I need it, or, you know, just having them in the room whenever it's necessary, I feel like that's a huge benefit to me. And then just like you said, the communication, and we've got it pretty streamlined at this point, just because of all the years we've spent together. We know how to communicate with each other. We know each other's likes and dislikes. And so just having that continuity and being together for that long, it serves a great purpose on our staff.
So you've got a couple of quarterbacks, the killer bees, as I call them, are Burrow and Browning, and a lot of estimation of a lot of people, I should say. I mean, you could argue you got the best quarterback and the best backup quarterback, you know, in the National Football League. I mean, Jake Browning stepped up. You know, he showed that he was ready and capable and executed at a very, very proficient level. And of course, we all know what Joe Burrow's about. I heard you say, who wouldn't want to work with these guys? I mean, that's got to be an exciting thing for you.
It's very exciting. You know, not many people get the opportunity in their first position coaching job in the NFL to work with the caliber of players that Joe and Jake are. And like you said, I mean, everybody knows about Joe. Everybody knows about the success that he's had and what an incredible player that he is. But I was really excited for Jake to get to show his skill set and be able to come in less than ideal circumstances. I mean, that's a tough situation for a backup quarterback to come into when your franchise quarterback goes down with an injury like that and is going to be out for the rest of the season, and you're still in the thick of a playoff hunt. You know, that really showed the character and the ability that Jake Browning has when he came in here and was able to play winning football for us and have the success that he did and keep us in the hunt for as long as we were able to stay in it. And to get the opportunity to coach both of those guys is certainly something that I'm grateful for and I don't take for granted.
You know Joe Burrow better than anybody in the organization. You were with Joe Burrow at LSU in the collegiate days. How similar, how different is Joe Burrow today than the Joe Burrow that you know and worked with at LSU?
Not very different. He's the same guy. And that's one of the things that makes Joe so great, is he's a very consistent person. He's genuine. He's authentic. He's the same guy every single day. And it's been that way since the first day that I met him in July of 2018, whenever it was, at LSU. And so now he's gotten a lot better. That's one of the things that also makes him unique and elite, is his ability to continually get better, continually develop different aspects of his game, and just get better, not only from a year-to-year basis, but a month-to-month, a week-to-week, a day-to-day basis. He's obsessed with getting better and being the absolute best version of himself. And yeah, to get to see that process unfold from the perspective that I've been fortunate enough to have has been really, really cool, and I'm very grateful for it.
My first offensive line coach in the National Football League was a guy named Bill Tiger Johnson, who was a Pro Bowl center with the San Francisco 49ers himself. His quarterback is Y.A. Tittle back in the day before he was with
LSU.
The yeah, exactly. Before he went to the New York Giants. But Tiger, he said to me when I was a rookie, he said, "All right, young blood, I'm going to tell you something." "Yes, sir. I mean, I'm all ears." I was trying to sponge everything that he was going to throw out there. He goes, "Here's my advice. Do not waste opportunities. Do not waste them. Every practice, every rep at practice, get better, son. Do not stay flat. Do not get worse. Make sure you're getting better all the time." That's Joe Burrow in a nutshell, isn't it?
100%. 100%. And, you know, it seems simple enough that, you know, the more serious approach that you have to practice and the intent that you have of getting better every time that you're out there with every single rep that you get, it seems simple, but, you know, the phrase that kind of gets commonly used is going through the motions. And that's something that happens probably more often than it should, but that doesn't exist with Joe Burrow. He doesn't know how to go through the motions. Everything he does is done with intent and is done to get better and to improve, whether it's an incremental improvement or something that is long lasting and something that has a little bit more depth behind it. And so, yeah, it seems simple enough, but you'd be surprised at the guys that are exceptional at it and where it takes them.
Okay, so let's talk about the combine a little bit. You were there for a good part of the week. You were there, the duration basically of the combine, for a good part of it anyway. Not in the market necessarily for a high draft pick at the quarterback position for reasons we've already talked about. But obviously you're going to take a look at the quarterbacks. I mean, what I love about this organization is the scouts, the personnel department, but coaches, everybody has input. Everything within this organization is not autocratic. It's a democracy, you know, and including the way Zach handles things, the way you guys game plan. I mean, everybody's got input. The whole thing is just everybody's idea means something. I love that. I love that part of it. What was your biggest take when you came back from the combine? You know, not necessarily at the quarterback position, but overall, how did the combine strike you?
I think this is a really talented class. I think that, you know, speaking about the quarterback specifically, I think that this is a really impressive group. I think there's talent from the top to the bottom. And it was, I really enjoyed getting to talk to those guys and get a feel for their personalities and who they are as people. You know, you can watch the tape and understand who they are as players. But I think it's really important to get to know the person, get to know their character and their personality traits and what type of leaders they are and things like that. And that was something that I really enjoy about going to the combine, is getting to have that one-on-one interpersonal interaction with those guys. And again, I think it's a really impressive group, specifically at the quarterback position. And then I think there's a lot of great receivers just watching the workouts and a lot of great offensive linemen as well. And so I'm really excited to keep digging into this evaluation process and understand these guys even further. But just early impressions are this is a really impressive class.
Yeah, I mean, the receiver Xavier Worthy from Texas runs a 4.21. I mean, okay, I bet during his workouts in training for the combine, he probably ran a 4.19. He probably went sub 4.2. You got to figure probably next year somebody's going to break 4.2. I mean, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. All they have to do is chop off 0.2 of a second. I mean, these guys are crazy. He's got a teammate at Texas, 44 pounds heavier, that runs a 4.34. I mean, my gosh, this is the size speed ratio of these athletes. And then I'm watching the big guys, like you talk about, the offensive linemen. I mean, these tacklers are 325, 330 pounds, and they're changing direction, moving like somebody over 100 pounds smaller. It's just phenomenal to watch these genetic freaks. It really is.
It is. I mean, it's impressive. Like you said, I mean, Xavier Worthy run the 4.21. You know, shout out to John Ross. He held that record for a long time.
Right.
It's kind of sad to see it get broken. Across the board, I mean, it feels like these guys get more and more athletic every year. They get bigger every year. And so, you know, credit to those college programs that are developing those guys the way that they are, because like you said, it just, it feels like they just continue to get more and more impressive each and every year.
Is it fair to say still that the combine, I mean, you've got quite a few head coaches decide not to go, general managers decide not to go, but I mean, in my mind, the combine has turned into the two M's, medical and meetings, and that's interviews and getting to know the guys like you were talking about. And, you know, Caleb Williams decided that, you know, I don't want to do the medical, I'll do it at my pro day. But the medical is still a big part of it, isn't it? Is that a very, very important part of what you guys are looking to try to do, is as much medical information as you can get, as well as diving into the personality of the player?
Yeah, I mean, the medical portion of it might be a better question for Duke and our scouting staff than myself.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, it's something that you look at and you want to make sure that everything's clean from that standpoint. But yeah, I'm more interested in the one-on-one interview that you get to do with the guys, and the interpersonal interaction that you get with them. And again, just getting a much better sense. You do a lot of that stuff on Zoom after the combine and during the pro days and everything that kind of leads up to the draft from this point on. But I find a lot of value still in getting to sit down with them in person, and you get a better sense in that setting, I think. And so that's probably the part of it that I value the most, but I know that there's a lot of value that's placed on the medical portion as well.
I mean, when you look at the positions that you talked about, I mean, they're saying five, maybe six first round quarterbacks. How many first round wide receivers? I mean, it could be another half a dozen. How many first round offensive tackles? There could be another half a dozen. How many first round edge guys? Maybe another half dozen. I mean, at 18, something is going to be there. And honestly, my own personal wish would be Brock Bowers to be there. I'd love to have Brock Bowers be there, but I mean, something, if not Brock Bowers, I'd love to have one of those big boys there, you know, at the offensive tackle position. There's going to be a good football player at number 18, isn't there?
I think so. Yeah. Again, probably a better question for our scouting department, but yeah, I think that there's a lot of depth in this draft class. And I think that, you know, all the way into and through the second round, I think you can find some really, really quality players. So yeah, to say that there's a good chance that you can find a great player at pick 18. Yeah. I'd say that there's a high likelihood of that.
Number 9, directing the offense, Chase over there at one receiver position. T. Higgins has now been tagged. People are talking about tag and trade. I love Duke Tobin's comments. We don't do that to make other people better. We do that to make ourselves better. I mean, you know, you have a talent like T. Higgins, you try to keep him in the building and run it back again. I mean, that could be, man, and that's why I guess I fantasize about Brock Bowers. What a dream trio that might be. But obviously Brock Bowers isn't Bengals property at this point in time. In fact, there's not a tight end under contract as we speak right now, but that's going to change obviously quickly. But I know Joe and Jamar and T have a special working relationship, don't they?
They do. Yeah. I mean, you know, it goes back obviously for Joe and Jamar back to their college days at LSU. They were able to form a great bond there over those 2 years. And then, you know, T being drafted in the same class as Joe, they came in together as rookies, which is a valuable bond in its own right. And they've really grown up together in the NFL, and then add Jamar to the mix the next year. And yeah, those are three guys that have a strong relationship with each other, both on the field and off the field. And yeah, we're looking forward to having it continue as long as we can.
So the Super Bowl ended, and then the combine, now there's free agency, and then you have the draft. And during all of that, as you're getting all that done, you're also meeting and talking through tweaks, adjustments, really like this, how about this with this formation, all the things that you do in the off season. Man, is it a mix of all of it, or is it during the course of the week, do you individually or and collectively as a staff, okay, Monday is this, Tuesday is this. How does that work during the course of the off season?
It's a mix of all of it, like you said. You're kind of intermittently going back and forth between evaluations on whether it's, like you said, free agent prospects or college draft prospects. And then you're also mixing in some scheme evaluation, whether it's our own stuff or it's stuff around the league that we're studying from other teams. And so I think that Dan Pitcher does a great job of assigning those duties and kind of setting the table for how he wants our offseason to look as an offensive staff. And we really just follow his lead, and we're getting a lot done. I can tell you that.
The meetings that you guys have, you know, Zach, Dan, yourself, and then the quarterbacks, the Killer Bees, and whoever else will be part of that process, that room must be just phenomenal. I would love to be a fly on the wall, because I love football, listening to you guys as a group talk about football and talk about what you're going to do and why you're going to do it and how it's best for the football team and how you come to the decision-making process of that. That fascinates me. I mean, putting together a football team fascinates me. But then putting together a structured plan, how to best take advantage of that team that you put together, fascinates me as well, man. Those meetings must be awesome.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. Like you said, with all those guys in the room at the same time, that's a lot of really smart football minds. And so, yeah, there's a lot of high-level conversation that goes on. And the great thing about all those guys that you mentioned as well is everybody has a great personality and a great sense of humor. It never gets too serious or, you know, it's always a light conversation, and it's always everyone really enjoys being around each other. And so that's something that I don't think you can take for granted. I don't think that's always the case in the quarterback room, around other organizations and in football. And so I think that's something that is really special about our place. And yeah, we've got a lot of really impressive people in this room, that's for sure.
And I think you make a great point there, because there have been teams around the league that have had quarterback rooms where there was friction, you know, going on, and not the greatest dynamic between players or players to each other, players to coaches, coaches to players, whatever the case may be. And man, it's like in any business. I mean, if you're a salesman, you don't get along with your sales manager, and you're in sales meetings with them, I mean, it's like, this isn't a good place to go every day. But if everybody's, you know, in concert, man, you driving down the road and you can't wait to get to work. You know, it's like, let me get there. And that sounds like what you guys have going on. It's like everybody is just trusts each other, respects each other's knowledge and everything about the game. I mean, that's got to be just really healthy.
Yeah, it is. And it's something that Zach has cultivated here in our organization. It's something that he talks about all the time. It's something that he preaches, is that he wants us to be a connected team. And I think you see that. Everybody really enjoys coming to work every morning and really enjoys being around each other. And there are enough hard things about this profession, about this sport at this level. And so being around each other can't be one of those things. And so we really enjoy the group and enjoy all the conversations and everything that goes into playing the quarterback at a high level. We enjoy everything that goes into that, including just the conversation, both about football and maybe not about football, that we get to have in this room.
You know, not only the early rounds of the draft, how about the middle rounds and even the late rounds of the draft and even college free agency? I mean, that's always a big thing. The Bengals send the coaches out to recruit. You know, they'll hit the road and recruit college free agents and establish that relationship, you know, really early on as well. Does this draft, I know in the early stages, there's a lot of players there. I mean, it's going to spill into at least a couple of rounds of highly, highly regarded players. Is it filtering out to be pretty deep in the middle and late rounds as well?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, and like you said, you know, we get the opportunity as coaches to go out to a lot of pro days and visit with a lot of college coaches and see those guys in person. And I think that's really valuable. I think you get a much deeper evaluation on guys whenever you're able to go see them in person and talk to them in person and sit down with them, take them out to lunch or dinner and really get a great feel for them. And then, you know, our scouting department does an incredible job of, you know, taking our opinion into consideration and valuing it. You know, we use a collaborative effort between our scouting department and our coaching staff when it comes to the draft evaluation process. And I think that is something that's been really beneficial for us and something that we're certainly thankful for as a coaching staff.
Coach, appreciate you carving the time you carved for us this morning. I don't want to abuse the privilege here. And all I can say is congratulations. I mean, at You're in your early 30s, aren't you? What are you, like 32, 33 years old?
I just turned 32 on Saturday.
Gosh, 32 years old on Saturday. Okay, I guess, how are you tracking to your goal earlier than anticipated, right on schedule? I mean, not that it matters, you're where you want to be, but I mean, could you envision this at the age of 32 years old being a quarterback coach in the National Football League?
It's not something that I really think about too much. Right. I've always tried to work really, really hard, and I've been really fortunate in my career so far. But I just try to do the best job that I can at whatever job is given to me. And whatever happens from that point happens. And again, I just feel very fortunate that I've gotten to be here with the coaching staff and the players that we have here. And I'm really excited about what's to come in the future.
I know everyone holds you in high regard in the organization, be it, you know, front office, coaches, players. You've done a heck of a job. Congratulations. A well-deserved opportunity at the quarterback position. Thanks for carving time for us and catching up with this. And I know there's a very proud grandpa and papa Craig Thorpe out there, man. That's no doubt about that. Appreciate your time, Coach.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. I appreciate you having me on.
You're the best. Thank you. Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team. Opportunity knocking.